We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is October 31st. Happy Halloween 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I am back. I am one of your hosts, the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ, back off vacation, back off assignment. Had a wonderful, wonderful vacation. Awesome cruise. Going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. But before I do, I want to go around the room and not only introduce, but thank my awesome co-host for locking it down and keeping a tight, fun show last week. Going to start with from the Rob the Genius podcast, the host of that show. He is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast's Minister of Truth, Father of Facts and Figures, the Deacon of Data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Ray Cash's daddy and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, sir, how's it going?
Good. And before we get started, I would like to just wish a happy anniversary to my mother. 54 years ago, two crazy kids got married at a church in Washington, D.C., and those two crazy kids were my parents, and they got Halloween.
That's awesome. I like that, man. Happy anniversary and congratulations to them. That's awesome. That really is cool.
I forgot that. Halloween. That's one of the coolest anniversaries.
I didn't know they got married on Halloween. I don't think I ever knew that about you, Rob.
Yeah, because my dad, of course, I've told
you. You shipped out, right?
Well, he had to ship out for Cuba. Yeah. So they had to.
Now or never, lady.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much how it went.
You want to get on these benefits package? I'm joking. Hey, that's the reality of it, man. She probably got taken care of. So, hey, hats off to your parents, man. You got to do it.
So, yeah, if they were going to do it before he shipped out, that was the only date they could get. So that's what they did. And it,
it was a courthouse gimmick, right, Rob?
Say again?
Was it a courthouse gimmick?
Oh, no, they did. No, they did the full church wedding and everything.
Okay. Cool. Good for them.
Excellent. Well, and you've heard him. He is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9. He is destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how's your week?
Happy Halloween, gentlemen. How are we feeling?
I'm all right. I'm in a weird mood today. I have been all day. I told Rob that in the kickoff show. I was like, because this year for me has been weird, like with the ups and downs with the job at the VA and everything that happened with that. And then just various life things. Usually I do big on Halloween. This year I did not. I'm not feeling it. I was in my own head earlier. Got some really good news about midday though. So
out of your keister, because you know, ups and downs may happen and ups and downs may, you know, but you got a big up today and you just got back from a cruise. So I don't want to hear it with this like poor me attitude.
And I know, and it's.
I'm just trying to give you a little perspective here. You're doing pretty fine.
Well, I was, you know, and I was getting to that because about midday I got some really good news and I'm trying to keep it in perspective. Like, yeah, I just got off vacation, had an absolutely fantastic time on this cruise, Royal Caribbean. If you've never gone on a cruise and you're considering it, please do it. It's such an awesome little getaway. There's so much stuff to do on the ships. Royal Caribbean, we've done them 4 out of the 5 cruises we've gone on. They've been incredible every time we've gone. Such just relaxing, and the food is always awesome. The bartenders are always great. The entertainment's top-notch. Just a wonderful vacation, relaxing time for us. So, yeah, you're right. I got to get my head out of my ass. We've got a podcast to do. We got a lot to talk about. But, yeah, it's me, vacation. Last week, I want to talk first to my co-host and thank you guys. Guys, hell of a good show last week. Like, I enjoyed every minute of it. And I'm not a big basketball fan. So if you guys can talk basketball and keep me interested in what you're talking about, you get.
Well, I'm glad. Cause, you know, at certain points, I'm sure you heard it's like, you know, this is a lot better when there's a director, a master choreographer, or whatever you want to call it. But.
I mean, I enjoy keeping a hand on the wheel, but sometimes when I'm not here, shenanigans happen, and I got to be honest with you, the wedgie segment, I was in my car on the way home from work, and I was about halfway home, and I swear to you, I laughed the rest of the way home. Because when you said, Rob, we got breaking news, and you said, we were watching game whatever it is, and with 3 minutes left, we've got a wedgie, Rob and I simultaneously, as he's recording the show and as I'm listening to it, are both thinking, what the hell does this have to do with anything that's going on right now? And I was thinking the exact same thing Rob was. And then Rob's reply was, yep, this is the kind of journalistic broadcasting you get with the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Because he thought you were talking about somebody yanking underwear, which is exactly where my brain went.
It was all three of us. I know. For a solid God's truth fact that a wedgie reference in basketball would fly right over your bald head. But I thought Rob was going to – Rob is dialed in enough – well, Rob's dialed in with basketball, certainly. And he's dialed in enough with the pop culture of sports and stuff. I thought wedgie was going to land with him. And it absolutely did not. So I was the only one who knew what we were talking about. That was great.
And I should be embarrassed because when I was younger, basketball was a big part of my family life. My dad was a high school basketball standout, and he watched, you know, pro and college. He still watches college ball. He still loves college ball. But I never knew that was called a wedgie. And is a yummy those I've done in my lifetime because I suck at basketball. Like I've probably made more wedgies than I've made shots. And never in my life have I ever heard it called or called it a wedgie. So my mind went right where Rob's did. I'm like, why the hell is he talking about someone getting their shorts yanked up their, you know, rear end?
Yeah. So and when you first mentioned it, I was like, oh, okay. And you kept going, and I was like what is this? Like, what is he talking about? Like.
It's just such a rare occurrence. Like, wedgies don't happen that often in basketball, like the actual
basketball. They do basketball. When I'm playing.
Well, that's fair. But in a professional basketball game, they don't happen that often. So it is kind of like a Halley's Comet, you know, event. So when it happened live during a during the recording, I was very, very excited.
So let me ask you this, Jason, since you're the wedgie expert here. When a wedgie happens in a basketball game, like a professional game, because these are professionals and it doesn't happen very often, do they like stop? Is it considered like a foul or like an out of bounds? Or does somebody actually, they wait for somebody to jump up and tip the ball? Or do they stop everything and?
It's out of bounds and whoever touched it last, you know, it's possession. So
it's out of bounds. So it's possession of the other team. Okay. So it's like an out of bounds. Okay. All right. Well, we can move on from the wedgie incident now. Because we got about quite a bit of wrestling to talk about. We want to keep it tight tonight. And like I said, I was going to tell I had a little story from the cruise. Not going to do that because we're starting a little bit late tonight.
One of you idiots is unwrapping a trick-or-treat candy right now. Stop it.
No, I had a little wrapper thing on my table here. That was me. I'm sorry. I'll stop. Anyway, we got a lot to do, talk about. Like I said, I went on vacation last week, and while I was on vacation, Samantha Irving left WWE. Like, I shouldn't did say, you, did you tell, not?
We don't want to get right into this. Like, did you have a story, a cruise story to tell or something?
Yeah, okay, I'll go ahead and tell it. We can go ahead and tell it.
Let's do that first, because I have a lot to say about Samantha, and it's all positive about her.
And I do, too. Yeah. I think we're going to be largely supportive of her decision, and we'll get into that in a minute. So my lovely girlfriend and I go on a cruise. It's a little four-day Atlantic cruise. We go over to the Bahamas a couple days. There's one day in Nassau, one day at sea, one day at their private island at Coco Cay. And then they count your first day that you get on the ship. They count that as day one. So it's technically, I guess, 2 days at sea if you want to look at it from that perspective. So day one gets off without a hitch. We go, we have drinks, we have dinner, we have a good time. It's a blast. Day two, they get to Nassau, and we don't get off the boat in Nassau. Like, we've been to Nassau, we've seen it. It's very tourist trappy unless you have enough time to get off the beaten path and go see the non-touristy stuff. We have no interest in doing the shopping at the straw market or anything like that. So we let the people that are going to get off the boat get off the boat, and then we take over the pool and the hot tub and the bar and everything like that. And I'd say probably about 50% of the people usually get off the boat, which clear when there's 7,000 people on the ship, it clears out a lot of space. So they did their thing. We went to breakfast. We got on our swimsuits, and we were going to go hang by the pool. And on this particular ship, there's an area that's designated adults only for the people that don't want to hang by the pool by the kids. They want more adult time. They've got a couple of pools and small pools, but a couple of pools and a couple of hot tubs. They got a couple of bars and a little diner that you can eat at. It's just, you know, 18 and up to get away from the kids. So we decide we're going to hang out in the solarium, and we go in there, and it's not too crowded. It's not too bad. So we go hang out in the little pool for a few minutes, and then we decide, hey, let's go hang out in the hot tub. So we get in the hot tub, and as we're getting into the hot tub, there's a lady in there, and she looks to be probably late 50s, early 60s. And we got in there, and we sat down, and we started talking with her a little bit. Super nice lady. And about 5 minutes later, this guy joins us, and he seems nice enough. He's talking. He's, you know, doing his thing. And I pick up very quickly that he's with this woman that we're in the hot tub with, because they're talking back and forth, and but there's an odd vibe between the two of them, okay? So then all of a sudden he gets in the pool, and he starts talking with us, and he's talking about the situation, about how they just met recently, and she came on this cruise with him, and he's like, yeah, and I'm starting to pick up a vibe. So I'm like, okay, let me see what I picked up on it well before Tina did. So she's talking to him, and he's talking to the two girls, and I'm watching the situation. And he's like, oh, yeah, this and this and that. And he's like, then he leads in with, well, yeah, we got a couple of bottles of wine and some strawberries and up in the room. Hey, you guys want to come up and party? And I'm like, no. Oh, no, it gets better. It gets better, man.
It's a pineapple situation.
It's very much a pineapple situation. And let me preface what I'm about to say with, I am not shaming any communities. Okay. I'm actually very supportive of these lifestyles. It's not one I partake in, but I'm very supportive. So I don't want my story to sound like I am being derogatory towards swingers or LGBTQ or anything like that, because that's not my intent here. There's a certain lifestyle that I don't live. Okay. So he leans in with that, and he starts going, and at about the, now I know what's going on here. Okay. Now I'm like, okay, now I see where this is going, but I can play this cool because I have friends that are swingers and they're very nice people. And, you know, I've learned some of the lingo and the lifestyle and you know, stuff like that. So I know how to deal with the situation. So I'm just letting this play out. But the thing is, he's with this woman, but I think he's more into this lifestyle thing than she is. And I'm getting that they met each other, not on like a regular website, like on a lifestyle website, but he keeps referring to her by her city name. She's from Delray Beach, Florida. And he keeps referring to her as Delray. And she was very annoyed by this. She's like, he can't even remember my name. And he's like, well, you know, you're from Delray Beach. You look like somebody who would be from Delray. Listen to this guy. He is totally like, first, he's failing with us because we're not into that lifestyle. Now he's failing with the woman that he's on a cruise with. Okay. I'm watching this dude flounder in front of us. Meanwhile, the more he talks, the closer he scoots to me and Tina. And he starts talking about, you know, how and at this point he went from being what seemed like an okay kind of nice guy to super creepy real quick. because he starts talking about how when he goes to places and he
because I just want to predict something because I don't want to hear the end. But it, excuse me, if you know the answer to this, I don't want to hear it yet. I would guess, based on my very limited experience with this community, he is in year 2 and she is in year like 50 of being in the community. So
somebody ring the bell.
Exactly.
Somebody ring the bell. Okay.
Yes.
I don't think he's actually in the swinger lifestyle. I think he's like, Rob, did you ever play Leisure Suit Larry? Are you familiar with who and what Leisure Suit Larry is?
I'm familiar with it. I never actually played it, but I know what it is.
By the way, why are you? You're not that old. We had Leisure Suit Larry. Fuck off.
Okay, so you guys get the reference. This guy was 100% Leisure Suit Larry. Like, he thought he was like this ladies' man because he's sitting here telling us this story. Now, that, mind you, he doesn't care whether it's me or whether it's Tina. He's taking one of us back to somebody's room. Preferably in his mind, he's taking both of us, right? So, but he's laying it on thicker and thicker as we go. And then he starts, now, mind you, you're trying to court these two people that you've just met, especially more particularly the woman, and you lead in with telling her how, oh yeah, usually when I hook up with women, it's because I look over at their guys and their guys are tired of them. Leads in with this.
Court is the wrong word.
Well, because you're okay, not just, whatever.
You're a little, let's keep the Mindless Wrestling Podcast PG, but you're trying to be more direct than courting. You're skipping a few steps.
He skipped all the steps, my friend. He played leapfrog over the steps. Okay. So by now, Tina has finally caught on to what he's doing. She's a little naive to certain things, but she caught on probably about 5 minutes after I did. So now she wasn't uncomfortable aside from the fact that he just kept inching closer and closer. And then finally he starts to read the room a little bit, and me, I'm playing it cool. And I think he was expecting me to do like the protective, throw my arm around my girl or pull her in close or something like that. And I didn't do that. And I think that threw his game off even more because I just kind of sat there cool as a cucumber, just watching the situation. Cause one, I trust Tina and I know what's going to happen and what's not going to happen. And two, I know I'm not doing anything. You know, finally she's looking at him and she's caught on, and now she's trying to redirect him. She's like, okay, I figured out what this is, and no, we're not doing that, sir, without being direct and rude, because he hasn't been rude at this point yet. So then he starts laying it on even thicker. He's like talking to her, and he's like, you know, I can look over here at DJ, and I can tell, because I haven't said a whole lot. I've introduced myself. I've made a couple of jokes, little small talk, but I haven't said much because I was observing the situation. And so finally he looks over, and he looks at her, looks at me, looks back at her, and he's like, so I can tell DJ's a little bit shy. And he's like, but she's like, no, he's not shy. She's like, he's just waiting for me to get uncomfortable before he starts kicking the ass. And he looked at her and he's like, oh, it's like that. She's like, yeah, it's like that. He's like, oh, okay. So he kind of backed off a little bit but still kept trying to play the game. Well, anyway, the girl that he's with finally excuses herself from the pool. Like, skipping ahead to their story, I can promise you when they left the ship, they never spoke again. I can 100% guarantee you that's what happened. Because here's what I think happened. I think he already had the cruise booked. He met her on this lifestyle website, said, hey, I've got this cruise booked. You want to go? She said, sure, why not? The cruise is paid for. I get a free cruise. She jumped on the boat. But the way he was just like, you're with her. She's staying in your room and your eyes on us, like in front of her. Okay. And maybe, like I said, it's
different things. Like, he could just be, you know, they could be all about that lifestyle and she could be just utterly passive when it comes to that stuff. Who knows?
Well, that's the thing. That goes back to the experience.
What his goal was, no matter what their goal was, he overplayed his hand a lot.
He did overplay his hand a lot. And it got even worse as the weekend went on because it didn't end at day one. it didn't end here. So she gets out. So he's leaving he's going to follow her and find out what she's doing. I'm like, okay, we're going to get rid of this guy. He's like 3/4 of the way out of pool. And Tina makes some kind of, I don't even know how we got here, but she made like a Dungeons and Dragons reference to something. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, okay, thinking, yeah, he's going to buzz off now because she's speaking a language that he cannot possibly understand. No, this fucker was well-versed. He got back in the hot tub, sat down with her, and they had another 15-minute conversation on Dungeons & Dragons. So now I'm like, I'm never getting rid of this asshole. this is never going to happen. So that finally ended. He went his way. We got up. We went in the pool. We were there about 5 minutes, and then the both of them came down in the pool with us. I'm like, okay, we got to figure out how the hell to get out of here. Because I just don't want – I don't want to be rude to anybody. I don't want to – not on – at all, but certainly not on my second day on the cruise because I'm just – I'm here to have a good time. So he came down. We talked for another minute or two, and then somebody else caught his attention. As soon as his back was turned, I grabbed her and we got out of there. So that was day one. Keeping it short, we ran into that guy. No, he ran into us. He found us like four more times over the next 3 days. And like I said at the beginning of all this, there were 7,000 people on this boat, and he kept finding us. He found us at the karaoke bar twice. He found us at a we were doing trivia one night. And then the best part of the story was I told you he's like Leisure Suit Larry. He thinks he's a ladies' man. He's already struck out three or four times in like a 10-minute span. We're at a club one night listening to an 80s band. And out of the corner of my eye, I see him, and he – and finds me like immediately. I'm like, okay, so I'm cool. You know, he and I, we shake hands. She shakes hands with him, and he tries to drag her on the dance floor. And she's like, no, I don't want to dance. I just want to listen to music. So he goes out there and he's dancing by himself in front of this band. And he's just kind of doing his thing. And he's going up to the dance. He's trying to get the lead singer's attention. He's trying to get the bass player's attention, the guitarist's attention. Nobody's paying him any attention. These girls get on the floor and start trying to dance. Well, he, you know, shimmies his way over to try to get in between the two of them. They shimmy their way back over to the bar. And they're like looking over the bar watching him dance. And then finally they come back on the dance floor. A few more people show up. He tries to shimmy over again. One of the girls goes and grabs a random guy from the crowd, pulls him out there with her so that this guy will dance with her so this other guy will like fucking redirect and go do his own things. I'm watching him strike out yet again. And then finally, because he kept looking over to us and trying to get Tina, trying to get me, I'm like, I'm not getting on the dance floor. I'm not doing this, okay? So finally, as soon as his back was turned, we hauled ass and took off. But yeah, that went on for three straight days. Wherever we went, that dude found us. It was crazy.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was funny, but then that last night, watching the band, watching him just flounder out there, I just sat back and watched the show. I just watched the comedy show, man. I'm like, this guy is just swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss. It was just funny. And like I said, I don't want this entire thing to sound like I'm shaming anybody's lifestyle. I'm certainly not. But it's just not a lifestyle for me. And, you know, I'm certainly supportive of people doing what they want to do.
It sounds like he was just bad at it.
He was horrible at it. Like I said, I'm friends with swingers, and I know some of the etiquette, and he had none of it.
Right.
He had absolutely no etiquette whatsoever. I think he was just a sleaze who, you know, managed to find a girl who's in the lifestyle, and he was just looking to get licked.
Like, live that lifestyle seriously and, you know, fun and, you know, trusting and all that good stuff. And then there are those who get into that lifestyle because they think, you know, they're just, well, because they are just horny bastards.
Yeah. And that's exactly what he was. And I don't fault anybody for that. God knows, you know, when I was younger, I went through my phase, you know, but I'm not one for casual hookups. I'm not going to say I haven't done them because I have, you know, that's, you know, I had a life prior to being with Tina and, you know, a life prior to being married in the past. And, you know, so, you know, I've lived a certain way and, you know, if push came to shove, I could live a certain way again, but I prefer monogamy with one person that I'm in a committed relationship. Like that's my preference of lifestyle. If that makes sense.
The matrimony wrestling podcast over here. All right, DJ, you had a great time on your cruise and you're a one gal guy. Got it.
Sure.
Cause, one of my friends from work, he ended up like in a surprise swinger situation because he went on a trip with a lady and I think she knew it was that type of place. He didn't.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
And then because there's an episode of Martin, where like Martin and Tommy went to this party that this guy invited them to. And they didn't, you know, they didn't know what it was. And then, like, you know, then it was like Martin was all shocked. And then, like, 10 minutes later, Tommy's got, like, some woman riding around on his back. And he's like,
I mean, it's all good, man. I, like you said, to be honest with you, while I could never participate in the swinging lifestyle, there's a part of me that finds it fascinating because I don't understand it. You know, I understand the lingo and what they, but to me, the more emotional versus sex aspect of it, I have a hard time computing that. So in the few swingers that I've met who have been respectful and, you know the etiquette and everything like that, I've learned a little bit and it's been very fascinating to listen to them tell their tale. But at the same time, I don't think it's a lifestyle I could ever live. Like I said, I support whatever you want to do as a person. But it's just not for me.
Hey, and Leisure Suit Larry, wherever you are, good luck to you, buddy.
I hope that dude is in like some type of rehab or something, because he had some problems and it wasn't just his hormones. So, can we talk Samantha Irving now? Can we get past my cruise and my
swing? Yeah.
Okay. So I leave for a week and Samantha Irving is now no longer with WWE. And I we could sit here and say, oh my God, what a shock. But is it? I mean, on one hand, yeah, it looked like she was having an amazing time. She was putting in incredible work. If she was unhappy, it didn't show with what we saw on TV. Now, are they married, Ricochet? Or are they still just dating?
I think they are now.
They're married now. Okay, so her husband left in June. He is now part of AEW. He is entrenched in over there, and he's probably going to be there for a while. Not everybody can deal with that separation. You've got Rhea and Buddy who seem to make it work. There's a couple other people. Malachi and Zelina Vega seem to make it work. But that lifestyle ain't for everybody. And you had to think that at some point – she may consider, hey, either let me get out of a situation that's keeping me from my husband as much as I want to be, or full-blown let me just go over there and be with him. But to her credit, you never saw that on TV. And as she left, you're like, okay, it sucks because she was amazing. She became very much part of the WWE TV and PLE experience. With the way she did her announcements, the incredible voice that she has, just all the props and all the kudos, you know, to her. And then she put out a statement explaining why she wanted to leave. And the main thing was while she was very good at announcing, it wasn't her passion. She wanted to be an on-screen character, whether it be a manager, a valet, whatever the case may be. And WWE saw her ceiling much differently. And I'm going to let the boys take over from here. But like we've always said on this show, we support anyone who wants to get out of a job that they are either unhappy with or not satisfied with. And it sounds like with her, this was the latter part of it. She wasn't satisfied with her position. And Rob, I'm going to kick it over to you. Where are you at here?
Because look, I always say all the time, folks, this is a job for these people. And I like to say that, you know, they're not video game characters and they're not chess pieces. They're real people. It is a very real person kind of thing to not be satisfied with your job. Whether it's, you know, sometimes you might not be satisfied with you're getting paid. Sometimes you might not be satisfied with what they have for you to do. And if that's the case, you know, you either try to find a way to make it work and find some happiness there, or you stay there and be unhappy, or you leave. And that's what it is. It's a job, folks. And I know like we're in this era now where you people who work there, you hear, you know, a lot of people who work there now is like, oh, I've been a fan all my life and this is the only place I wanted to be. And I think sometimes we assume that, you know, almost everybody there is like that. And that's the case. For some people, it is a career. And in her case, she has been a fan all her life, but and she did want to work when she wanted, there was a thing she wanted to do and they weren't letting her do it. So, I mean, and she's in her 30s. I mean, we all really expecting her to stay another 20 years. I know we were all expecting her to be Howard Finkel. Okay. Yes. That's what we were all hoping for. We're all hoping she'd be Howard Finkel and she stayed in there 20 years and she'd be cut and she'd be the ring announcer of the, of a, you know, several generations, and that there'd be people who would grow up listening to Samantha Irvin be the ring announcer, like people grew up with Howard Finkel. And, but that didn't happen because she did not want to do that. And again, she is a person. And I get it. It sucks. And we're, and also we're at kind of a time right now where nobody's supposed to want to leave the WWE, right? Nobody's supposed to want to leave. No way, right? And, you know, nobody's supposed to not want to go there, right? We're kind of in one of those periods right now. So, I mean, some people had a hard time dealing with the fact that somebody indeed did not want to stay there, okay? But, again, these are people, and... You know, and look, and yeah, again, for somebody who was not happy, she was doing a wonderful job. Cause I mean, you know, a lot, most people, if they're not happy with their job, you can tell. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially in the wrong business.
I mean, she did a great job of fooling us into thinking that she was perfectly happy there. And, but that wasn't the case. And look, and obviously, yes, when her husband left the company, whatever feeling she had got accelerated once he's not there anymore. Yes.
Yeah.
That's human. Okay.
Yeah.
When you're with, you know,
perfectly normal.
Right. Like if your spouse is there, or even if you're just all your buddies are there with you, it makes work easier. Right. And if that person or those people aren't there anymore, then, you know, then you're just kind of stuck with the shit that you don't like. Okay.
No one to talk to, you know, just bitch about it. Hey, I had to do this and it sucked, you know, and that takes a whole load off you at work. It does.
Yeah. And I'm sure it was cool. Even that she didn't like doing it, it was cool, you know, coming in town with her husband to the show and they're there together. And then, you know, then they go home together after the show. I'm sure that was pretty cool. And once that's gone, and again, you're kind of stuck with the stuff, with the things you don't like. So.
Yeah. So, Jason, I know in the kind of the pre-show, you said you had a bit to say about this situation. Why don't you take over here?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Rob said it. Like, we all expected her to be Fink. And I don't think that's just favoritism, because I just want to say, with no hyperbole, she's been one of the best sports announcers that I've ever heard, just in terms of enthusiasm and individuality and her own, like, unique spin on things. She has been a revelation. So, personally, as a fan, when she says, I didn't want to just be an announcer, that kind of bums me out, because I'm dead serious. When I heard about her, you know, leaving, when I first heard she was out, I was like, oh, she's just going to go to WBC, or she's going to go to UFC, or she's going to go, like, maybe not UFC because of TKO and whatnot. They work out of shared custody, but like, she's going to go off and do something like even bigger. Like, I don't know what else there is aside from boxing and UFC, but like, just, I don't know. Maybe she'll be the first, like, in-ring announcer, like, that's on the sideline for the Lakers. Who knows? But that's what I think of her, just everything and her skill and her enthusiasm at the job of announcing. So, as a viewer, as a fan, it bums me out when she says, I didn't want to be an announcer anymore. I'm going to do, you know, something different, you know, with my next stage of my career. I don't know if she said any more what that's going to be, if it's going to be singing, if it's going to be acting, if it's going to be whatever. God bless her, because, you know, the other thing Rob said, or DJ hit this, you know, hit this whole segment off with, if you're not happy in your job, quit. Go find it. Go figure it out. You know, no matter the money, if the money isn't making you happy, then then go. Like, find your truth, find your happiness. God bless. As a fan, bums me out because I think you've been the one of the best parts of one of my favorite hobbies. So, but DJ, you're right, obviously. Good luck and God bless. Like, you're going to do great anything you put your mind to. You know, if that girl's using her voice for any facet of her job, she will be just fine.
Yeah. And for those of you that are beating her down over this, man, go get a job. Like, seriously, get a job, touch some grass, go out and breathe some fresh air. Like Rob said, these are people. These are human beings. And we are the biggest e-drones probably in wrestling podcasting. And we're saying, you know what? It's okay. It's okay to not want to stay in WWE. It's okay to look at the big WWE machine and say no. And she did. And she did that for her own personal reasons. And I don't think anybody did. I absolutely loved her. And for all the reasons that Jason just said, I will miss her. I thought she was incredible. I think revelation is the perfect word because she really was like this.
And all, hey, thing. I'll put an e-drone hat for a second, man. I understand why when she said, hey, can I be a valet? Hey, can I be a whatever? I would have said no too. I would have been like, can you do SmackDown and Raw? How about that?
Well, let me put some personal perspective on it.
I've been like, no, I, and if they didn't at least make this offer to her, then it's, you know, it is whatever, you know, she just wanted to leave. She wanted to leave, but I want to make you think. So what do you think about that?
Well, I get it from a personal perspective. You know, back in 2000, 2001, at the end of my wrestling career, part of the reason I got out is because at the time I'm 5'8". You know, I topped out at 5'8", and I, at the time, you know, I'm a little heavier now, but I weighed 150 pounds. In 2000, there was a ceiling for 5'8", 150-pound guys, and it was manager. That was it. That's your ceiling, kid. You're a manager. You're always a manager. I don't want to be a manager. I want to be a wrestler. And that's not me shaming managers because you can make a hell of a career being a wrestling manager. You know, there's a list of guys who made names for themselves and made money being wrestling managers. I wanted to wrestle. And the industry looked at me and said, no. So I looked at the industry and said, no. You know, that's really the short answer to how I got out of the wrestling business was, one, I embarked on a career that became a lifelong career. Two, the business looked at me and said, kid, here's your ceiling. And that wasn't good enough for me. So I said, you know what? I'm good. Thank you. So I get it. I get it, man. When somebody looks at you and says, look, here's your lane, and that ain't the lane you want to be in, you get out.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that's with work, and that's even with, you know, personal relationships. You know, if you want one thing and the other person wants something different and they're not the same thing, then you got to make a decision. And, you know, just, I mean, that's life of being an adult. And in her case, like, sorry, guys. I mean, I get it. As a fan, it sucks. But,
So, Samantha, thank you. God bless. Good luck in whatever you do. Thank you for the few years that we got with you, the amazing work you put in. Don't let these idiots beat you down. Go do your thing. Go spread your wings and fly, as Jason likes to say. So let's move on. Let's talk a little bit of Rhea Ripley here. She was on NXT Tuesday night. We had the NXT parking lot struck again. There was a beatdown. Rhea Ripley was left in a bloody heap with the implication that Liv Morgan and Raquel, if I can say her name, beat her down with a couple of bats or sticks or whatever. So this looked like part of the angle, part of the storyline that they're selling. But it's coming out a little bit more today from multiple places that this looks like they've worked a storyline into a shoot injury. Most people were saying that Rhea Ripley on, what was it, Monday night or somewhere around in there may have caused herself the injury in one of the attacks. So she's got an orbital fracture, you know, long story short. And at first we all thought it was a work. We thought it was, part of the storyline. But now it looks like this is a shoot injury. Jason, I'll start with you.
I haven't, and I work in ophthalmology, but we see these orbital fractures so rarely, and we refer those out. Somebody comes in with an orbital fracture, we refer them out. So I don't know what the actual recovery time is on an orbital fracture, and I haven't looked it up. Do either one of you two know? Have you looked it up?
Because go ahead and talk, because I'm looking up. This happened actually after Road Warrior Animal back in the during the 80s. I'm trying to figure out.
I remember that. I remember that was part of the weightlifting incident, right? He legitimately got injured.
Yeah, so he broke his orbital socket like during like a match or something, and then they did the weightlifting thing in, you know, angle.
Turned that into the angle. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to see how long he was out.
Okay. It looks like, you know, whatever plans they had for Rhea and Liv, now this is probably going to get extended out, because if this is any more than, you know, 6 to 8 weeks of recovery time, you know, now we're pushing into Royal Rumble season, and now the early pick from a lot of people that I'm seeing shifted from Io Sky winning the Rumble to now Rhea Ripley winning the Rumble.
Yeah, we do live in the Triple H era, and would it be shocking if they were working everyone with this injury? No, but from everything we're seeing from the sheets and from what we, you know, from watching the television show and using our thinking caps, it looks like this is legit. So I'm going to operate under that assumption, and I have no idea what you do, because I don't think they were going to take this all the live in, you know, Rhea all the way to WrestleMania, unless
I don't think they were either.
Yeah.
Unless they already had a side road planned. So maybe this is just going to be, they're going to be right on schedule, but this definitely throws a curve into, you know, what's happening with the, you know, Women's World Championship.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they were going to have to take this out for extending this for like another 6 months.
No, this was not originally planning on going out to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't see how you can get six more months out of this.
My timeline's already getting tired of it, and I won't say that I hate it, but I would say after the last match with the Shark Tank, it took a sharp turn and not in a good direction.
They are getting into a, you know, wrap it up territory.
Yeah. Well, like, we got to call the go home here.
Yeah. So maybe this will be a blessing in disguise, and they can, you know, totally reinvigorate this story whenever Rhea comes back. But yeah, man, I don't know. I have no idea what you do with Liv at this point.
Sorry, Rob, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sometimes with these injuries, and I don't want to say it's a blessing in disguise, but it opens up a lane, and it opens up an opportunity for them to bring someone up and see if someone else can rise to the occasion. If Rhea is legitimately injured and she needs, because she's not going to Saudi now, right?
Right.
No.
Actually, this happened last Monday.
Okay.
It wasn't this past Monday, it was the Monday before.
Okay.
And then,
so yeah, I was on a cruise, so I didn't know it was that Monday. But okay. Yeah, it opens up a lane, and if they want to do, you know, a quick 2 month feud with Liv Morgan and someone else, and obviously, you know, Liv is probably going to come out on top on that. It opens up an opportunity for somebody else to shine, and you know, maybe someone else rises a bit and raises their stock. But yeah, this is going to be interesting to watch play out over the next, for the rest of the year. You know, we're almost to November 1st. It'll be November 2nd by the airing of this episode. So, you know, we're down to 2 months and counting before we get into WrestleMania season.
Yeah, man. And
so if it's a legitimate injury, Rhea, honey, this is 2 in 1 year. Like, I love you. I'm the biggest Rhea fan probably in the room right now. But you got to ease it up a notch, honey. Come on.
Yeah, because the thing is, like I said, like one of the things that people find endearing about her ring work is that she takes those bumps like full blast.
Oh, she goes full tilt. And that's one of the things about her I respect. And that's one of the things that drew me to her
in the first Mae Young Classic. I watched her work, and I knew she was going to be something way back then. I watched her. I'm like, this kid is going to be one to watch because she bumps like a maniac. She sells like a maniac. She's a little green at the time, but she absolutely goes out there and is ferocious in the ring. And sometimes, as Rob, in your words, that's to a detriment.
Yeah, because when she, like, when she hurt her shoulder earlier, she ran into that wall at, like, full speed.
She did.
Yeah, and then we've seen, like, when she takes those DDT, she spikes herself on, you know, when she takes them.
Yep.
Because, I mean, it's starting to pile up because a couple of years ago, like, I think it was 2 years ago, she concussed herself in a match. So now we got the shoulder, we got another head injury.
And she's not 30.
Yeah. Like, and
what I worry about is that she's going to be one of those ones that's going to be having her fall Hall of Fame speech at 40 years old.
Yeah. Throttle back, kid.
Yeah. Okay. Let's let the foot off the gas a little bit.
And then also, kind of one of the matches she had with Charlotte, she took this bump to the outside and she landed on her feet and she just came down like full speed, like right down and landing on her feet.
Yeah.
And that looked like, you know, that looked like it hurt like hell. There comes, you know, she's gonna have to ease up doing that stuff, man, because like the injuries pile up. And like, I mean, we saw this with Mercedes, right? I mean, she just kept getting injured all the time.
You know, again, she's another, when she's healthy, she's a full tilt wrestler.
Yeah, and she takes crazy bumps and all types of things, and also, and the same thing happens. And yeah, it's just, that's what, yeah, I mean, cause, you know, I think that's an adjustment she's going to have to make, when she comes back. And, cause now, I mean, we're talking potential, you know, career affecting kind of stuff here.
I mean, if the, you know, the replay that we're all thinking she broke her orbital bone, you know, on that headbutt. If it was that headbutt, like, I totally believe it because she went in there at 150 miles an hour. So, yeah, it's okay, kid. Like, not everything has to be 150 miles an hour main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah, you can dial it back on the TV shows once in a while.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens here. Hopefully, you know, it's a quick recovery. Rob, did you manage to find how long that would be? If you didn't, that's okay.
No, I didn't, because I couldn't find how long he was. Because he came back, he came back wearing a hockey mask over his face.
Yeah, and she may very well do that. She may come back, you know, wear a mask for a little while. Because I think didn't the Undertaker shoot break his orbital bone too, or had a facial fracture or something?
I think so. And then
that was a shoot injury as well.
Yeah, he was wearing some type of thing over his face for a while too. Yeah, so
yeah.
As far
we'll see what happens.
As far as how this affects plans, I don't know what they're going to do because, I mean, it's the end of October. they might just punt on everything, you know, and then maybe figure out what they're going to do. I mean, they could just, you know, they could have Tiffany use the briefcase and start something with her with that. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Because, I mean, given the time of year it is, you know, they might just punt on everything and, you know, which would suck for the division. Cause basically, I mean, you would have like nothing happening with the.
Yeah. That's why I say give somebody a chance, elevate them a little bit, and put them in a 2 month, you know, 2 to 3 month feud with Liv Morgan. You can do that. And Liv can work with just about anybody in the sense that, you know, she can have a good feud with just about anybody. And I think right now, if this is a legit injury and Rhea is going to be out for a period of time, you do that. You don't make these women sit. You've got a champion, use her. You've got a person who is amazing on TV, use her and bring somebody else in to work with her and see how it goes. I think right now at this point in time, before we get into WrestleMania season, it's the perfect time to do. This is when they do that stuff anyway. They'll have, you know, this will be the obligatory Natalya feud. Not that I'm suggesting they use Natalya, but this is that period in the year where you can do something with somebody like that and see if they shine.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I don't hate it. I mean, you know, Lynn can carry that thing, no problem. And
hell, if nothing else, bring out Natalya. Let her feud with Liv. I'm fine with it. I'll watch it. Watch Natalya beat up on Liv for 2 months. Why not?
Liv's got Dom. So, I mean, like, you can stretch this out as long as you need.
Yeah. So, all right. Why don't we take a quick break here? And when we come back from the backside of the break, we're going to be talking not one, but two WWE premium live events. We just came out of an NXT one over the weekend. The genius of the podcast was live for that one. We're going to be talking the NXT PLE, and then we are going to give our predictions on Crown Jewel at the backside of that one. Real quick before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the available t-shirts from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Jason had a great tagline last week for the t-shirts. Jason, what was the tagline?
You can, if you love us so much, you can wear us on your body.
I love that. PC Tunney Pop for that. It was a great line. It's better than anything I've come up with. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick one up. The starting artists on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. We're going to go to commercial. We'll be right back. And when we do, we're talking NXT.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we're back. As customary on this show, Jason typically handles the cards for the premium live events. I'm going to kick this one over to Jason. Sir, the floor is yours.
Well, first, I want to kick something over to Rob, because Rob was there in the building in the, what was it, Rob? The Target Center?
The Giant Center.
Giant Center in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Rob was there live, boots on the ground, Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We never fail to give you good access here on this wonderful pod. Rob, walking in the building, what was the vibe? How was the crowd? How was the stage? How were your seats?
All right, so I was on the, I guess you could call it the right side. I was on the right side of the big screen. I was sitting over actually near the ambulance for the out on the side where the ambulance was for the ambulance match.
Yeah, you had some great pictures.
Yeah, so I was in the kind of the, I wasn't on the floor, but I was like at the lower level. And So I had a good seat. And the only problem was it was at like the corner of the ring. So there were some things that I didn't really get, that, you know, the ring post obscured a little bit or whatever. But all in all, I had a good seat, and the crowd was pretty good most of the night. There were, you know, as we go through the card, there were a couple of places where they were, you know, we kind of died down a bit, but for the most part, it was a good vibe in the building, and it was definitely, you know, a friendly crowd to what was going on there.
All right, awesome. So they kicked off with just a wrestling match of just that this actually wasn't even a wrestling match. This was a fight. Yeah. We had the spin the wheel, make the deal match. It was a tables, ladders, and scares match for the North American Championship. Tony D'Angelo defeated Obafemi in a very, very fun match. This was everything you expected it to be. Obafemi could come up anytime he wants. Interesting. And, yeah, so I had a great time here. Rob, what was the crowd like for Oba?
Oh, the crowd was hot for this one. I mean, so, and they were, you know, both guys were getting cheered at different points in the match when they were doing stuff. And, honestly, yeah, in the building, I think, you know, it'd been fine either way, no matter who won. Both guys were getting that much, you know, support from the crowd. And everybody popped when the rest of the family came out there. And, you know, they did some crazy bumps. They, you know, they did some table spots and everything. And like, I thought personally that, again, this was the right way. They did that stuff the right way, you know, cause, you know, I always, you know, when they start just stacking up chairs or stacking up tables and just for the sake of doing it, I kind of check out on those kind of matches. And they didn't do any of that. You know, they kept everything in order and, you know, made sense and all of that stuff. And so, you know, get the crowd was on fire for it. And then when Tony won, we would have been fine with either guy winning. So when Tony won and everybody was, you know, everybody popped for that. And yeah, it was just, man, it was a fun opener. It was a perfect way to open up the show.
Awesome. Pete?
Yeah, man, I had a lot of fun with this match. We've sung Obafemi's praises on this show ad nauseum, and we will continue to do so. That guy is legit. But we can't get out of here with talking about Tony D. This is a guy who Rob and, you know, has talked about and I've talked about. He's come a long way. Like, this guy has really, really picked it up. I think this is one of those things where you're going to cheer Tony D because the family is just fun. The whole gimmick is fun. It's a great NXT gimmick. I think Rob may have said this. I feel like it may have a lower ceiling on the main roster than it does in NXT, but it's still fun. And Obafemi is just a force of nature. Like, there's no way I guess he was supposed to be the heel in this match, but there's no way that guy's going to be a heel forever.
Yeah. Cause people just don't boo the big ass kicking guy.
No, they love the ass kicking guy.
Yeah, the big guy who kicks everybody's ass. You can't, I mean, you just can't get booed forever.
Well, and it's also not like he's smacking up the squeaky clean, you know, Daniel Bryan babyface. You know, Tony D is playing the babyface in this role, but he's Tony D.
Yeah, he's a mob guy. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, and so that helps. Over the sky, I would personally just like to see some more character work. Cause like we talked about, you know, two of the surest things in this, you know, NXT class are Trick and Oba. And Trick, the only difference I'd say at this point is that Trick has had just a longer runway to show more character stuff, like his stuff with, Carmelo and that, you know, them turning on you, or, you know, Carmelo turning heel on him and all that. Like, that was that, you know, he's not going to win any Academy Awards, but it was wrestling drama. And I think Oba's got that in him. So
the other difference is, and I think this was the biggest difference, Oba picked up the in-ring stuff like quickly. It took Trick a little while. And there's a reason why Trick was just the hype man on the outside.
I think now Trick's going to be awesome. I think Trick is continuing to grow by leaps and bounds, and he's absolutely main eventing a WrestleMania one day, you know, planting my flag there. But I think he wasn't picking up he wasn't the total package yet. So they developed these two guys differently. They threw Oba right on TV wrestling, you know, so he's out there. So the other parts will come, whereas Trick, they did it the other way around. He already had the personality. He had the personality. He had the charisma. He had the gimmick. He had to bring the rest of it to the table. They're raising them both differently.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, they're going at their own pace, and they're going, you know, at the way they're, you know, type of wrestling and their type of characters go. But, yeah, I can't say enough about Oba, man. That guy, because he's only going to get better, which is going to be crazy. Because to be like, he already has, like DJ talks about, like the. Not the timing. He does have timing, but it's just like when to do everything. It's not just the timing of like suplexes and when to kip up and when to do that. It's just like when to take it, when to dish it out, when to like make the drama happen.
When to make the smaller guy take it from you. Cause that's a lot of things that a lot of these younger big guys, they just give. Like, okay, no, you've got 60, 80 pounds on this guy. Make him take it from you. Don't but just give it to him.
Time, he doesn't go to the, oh, I'm just bigger than you, so ooga booga. He does not go to that well every single time.
Yeah. Let's keep it moving. What's next?
Yeah.
So next up we had the new girls in town beating up the varsity squad. Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade got beat the heck up by Julia and Stephanie Vaccour. Holy crap. This is my match of the night. Cause it was the best wrestling match. I mean, it helps that wasn't the only non-gimmick match, but I'm just going to say it every week, and I'm going to be very boring in the segments when it involves these four girls. All of them are as advertised. And as far as Roxanne and Cora Jade continue to, you know, just rise and continue their ascent. So hats off to all four of these ladies. And I can't wait to see more from Julia and Stephanie. So, Rob, what do you think? What was the vibe in the building for this match of the night?
Well, things quieted down a bit, and uh-huh. I think part of it was
wrestling. That's right. So it was a women's wrestling match. It was a tag team women's wrestling match. So Rob probably stood up from his, you know, very expensive seats in the front. It's like, all right, everybody, sit down. We don't need to get.
That's right. I was telling everyone to
clear the aisle. I'm going to get snacks.
I said, look, I'm going to the concession stand. I better not hear anybody. Well, I'm there. but in all seriousness, they were stuck coming after the opener, and yeah, it's just, you know, it's gonna be tough to follow that opener anyway.
Right.
And so look, I mean, that doesn't downgrade anything that they did in the match. It's just the building wasn't as loud for them, and it was more kind of a house show type of move, react to stuff, and they just weren't making noise. We're not making noise for the whole match. Now I guess from where I was sitting, and look, I mean, Cora literally just got back. She's been out for almost a year, and so you could see a couple of times where she was late kind of moving over to get in position. And it doesn't matter. It's just that it was one of those things. It was from where you could, in the building, you could see it. It was noticeable.
You could see it. I know what you're talking about. You could see it on TV. Go ahead and finish, because I've got some thoughts.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah. And look, I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, who cares? But if you ask me, well, give a grade to the match. I mean, that's the kind of thing you can't just be like, oh, well, act like it didn't happen. But outside of that, I mean, look, they all did really good work in the match, and it's just look, they got stuck following a really hot opener that had all those spots and everything going on. So that, you know. But they did a good job.
Yeah. As far as, like, the crowd cooling down, I think some of that may be just the unfamiliarity with Julie and Steph.
Oh, that's the other thing.
Because they're awesome. And, again, this is one of those in-the-bubble things. We know, you know, collectively on this show, collectively most of the people who probably are in earshot of us know. And as Jason said, these women thus far have delivered as advertised. Like, I was in – this was my first full – Julia Steph Vakur. I want to pronounce Vakur, Vakur, however she pronounces it. This was my first full experience from them, aside from a little bit I've seen on the internet. And I was incredibly impressed. I look at Julia and I get early NXT Asuka vibes. And that's a compliment of the highest order because Asuka is one of my favorite NXT black and gold NXT talents ever. And I get that vibe from Julia. So I'm very, very excited to see how her career goes in WWE.
It's not just, I mean, I get the exact same vibe you're talking about, and it's not just the obvious similarities.
No, it's the energy.
Presence.
It's her presence, her energy. I hate to use this word, but her aura. She has that same aura. And that's not taking anything away from Stephanie Vakur because she has it as well. She has a look. She's excellent in the ring. I think she's going to be just the sky's the limit for her as well. But I'm right now, Julia is just a hair above Steph in the interest level for me. There was some slick, slick chain wrestling going on in this match. And I saw and observed some of the miscues and some of the little things that Rob saw live. I did see that, and the worker in me pointed those out to myself, but also try to keep in mind one of those girls hasn't wrestled in a year. So right. Let's cut her some slack and give her some runway. But all in all, man, there was some slick shit in that match. All four of those women looked incredible. And then from a wrestling standpoint, it was match of the night for me.
Yeah, it was match of the night for me as well. So welcome to NXT, Stephanie and Julia. So that was awesome. So next up we had Ridge Holland and Andre Chase in an ambulance match. This was, I don't know, I
long.
Told these guys, it was long. It was drawn out. It shouldn't have been.
Especially they could have shaved 5 minutes, 7 minutes off this match and accomplished especially, the same thing.
Especially when the bad guy's going to win.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to drag out the drama and, you know, Chase U pulls it out and Andre wins, sure. But, like, when you do it like this, it falls flat. And that finish was interesting. Rob, how was it in the building?
Okay, so we were into it up until the end. And then the way it ended, you know, it was kind of like, wait, it's over? Right? Because, yeah. You know, I had to look at the replay on the screen just to see what exactly had happened. But it was kind of like, okay, and the way it ended. I mean, we were into the match up until that point. Because I was just thinking like, yeah, I mean, after everything that Ridge did to the whole gang, you figured that this was one that they would finally win and it didn't happen. And of course, this stuff was all in service of the thing they're doing next week. And so to that end, I'm like,
I have some thoughts on that, but go ahead and finish, Rob.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like this to me. This was not the storyline to interject all of that stuff. Not that, because this is one where the baby face should have won to avenge all of his friends. And it just didn't happen. And it's like, really? And then it didn't happen so that you can do a match with Bubba Ray Dudley next week. Really?
Yeah. And I'm going to piggyback off what you just said. He ran through the entirety of Chase U. You know, he obliterated Duke Hudson, obliterated Riley Osborne, just completely decimated Andre Chase and broke Thea's heart. And the guy who's going to get comeuppance on him is Bubba Ray. And that's not a knock on Bubba Ray. I think it'll be a fun match between him and Ridge. But if we're looking for satisfying resolution to a story, that's not it. There's no comeuppance here.
Yeah.
Like what connection beyond we're doing it at the ECW arena does Bubba Ray Dudley have with Chase U? I mean, it was a fun segment to see him and Ridge, and Bubba, to his part, Bubba was incredible. He's like, you know, I let it slide the first time. I'm going to give you a pass on the second one, but it better not happen a third time. And the way, but Bubba's delivery was great. I loved it. But at the same time, this doesn't feel like, unless Ridge absolutely destroys Bubba, which I just don't see happening in ECW arena. I didn't dislike the match. I thought it was about 5 to 7 minutes too long, but it's the resolution of this angle I'm looking at sideways.
Yeah, I couldn't have gotten like Sean Spears to get in Bubba Ray's face or somebody.
Yeah.
Get somebody who's just like somebody who's there to do that type of thing. And, you know, and they could have done that instead. I mean, it's just, yeah, it kind of left out of a bad taste and, you know, like really.
This is like if the Judas contract and Teen Titans, Deathstroke hunting them all down. This is like if we got to the very end of the Judas contract, Deathstroke's been tormenting all the Teen Titans and then Superman shows up and kicks Deathstroke's ass. What? I don't know. That's a comment on how much I love Chase U.
Yeah.
Like, this was just any up and coming act in NXT that I didn't care about. I'd be like, all right, whatever. Bubba Ray, I guess. Cool. Let's go. Yeah. But you've done so much with Chase U and you've tried so hard and you've been so successful with them. They don't need Superman to like save the day for them. So I kind of do hope they're going to, you know, go for the ass kicking thing and then drag us out. But I don't know.
Because they're doing a tag team match next week. It's Bubba Ray and Trick against Ridge and Ethan Page. Yeah. So Bubba's going over next week, folks.
Yeah. I will say this though. You know what, Bubba? Grab the bag, man.
Oh no, I'm not.
Absolutely. I am a advocate of grab the bag.
Oh no, I have no problem with those guys getting payday. Okay. Look, as much as we've sung the praises of Jeff Jarrett around here, I don't have any problem with anyone from that era coming in and getting a check because God knows if you're working for Paul Heyman back in 1998, you didn't get paid. Okay.
How dare you besmirch the wise man like that? His checks never bounce.
Those old rubber checks.
That's because it didn't land in the first place.
All right, Jason, what's next?
Oh, God. So next up, we have the North American the NXT Women's North American Championship. Fatal Influence chose a gauntlet match to contest the champion, Kalani Jordan's championship. And Fallon Henley got the win. I had a ton of fun with this match, and as I said in our preview show for this, Kalani loses nothing here, losing in a gauntlet match to, you know, another big act, and she's done plenty fine with the North American Championship. She has a giant runway ahead of her, and I'm very excited to see where she goes, so she's fine. And this was a good call. Fallon had a lot of fun with this, so I'm all aboard. Rob, how was it in the building?
We didn't care. I mean,
got up again. Again, he's like, now everybody, this is your second chance to go to the concessions. Everybody follow me. We're going to go get cotton candy. My treat.
Can you believe?
Hot dogs. Get your hot dogs.
Like they had two girls matches on the same show. I mean, what are we doing here?
Eight total women. Nine if you count the fact that Thea Hale made an appearance.
Yeah. But no,
ten because Ava showed up on the runway.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And Rob was he was going nuts.
No, in all seriousness, yeah, we were pretty dead for most of this match. I think one, doing a gauntlet match, I mean.
The stipulation was stupid. It was stupid
because you knew she was going to get to the end. So the first two falls didn't matter.
Right. Plus, as the champion, why would you look at two people and why would you look at somebody who is not the champion, who's trying to get your title, and them saying, you know what, you got to beat my two girls to get to me. I'm like, I ain't got to beat nobody. I'm the champ. You got to come find me. You're the one doing the chase. I'm not chasing.
Yeah. So, the gimmick was stupid. The first two falls, everybody knew the first two falls didn't matter because it wasn't like – obviously, it was going to come down to the third person and her, and it wasn't like she was going to go out there and lose the first fall and the match is over.
She wasn't going to lose to Jasmine Nix.
Yeah, right. So, to that end, we knew. I think everybody knew it was going to come down to the third fall. Yeah, we were pretty quiet, and also, I mean, you know, it's okay. Let me just say this first, folks. It's developmental. This is developmental. Okay. So these are not fully formed people here.
No, two of those girls in that match were very much developmental still.
Yeah. And look, and we've talked about in our group chat about Kalani. She's learning the wrestling moves really good, but kind of the other stuff, she's got a ways to go. And so.
A quick North American championship reign is perfect for her.
Yeah, again,
she has a very long runway ahead of her.
Yes, but as it pertains to this particular match, people didn't care, largely because she doesn't have much of a TV character to root for or against, and people didn't care. And that's what it was. And so that's, over the next however much longer, year or so that she's going to be down there, that's what they got to find. She's got to find a character. Otherwise, because, and we've seen this with some of her other matches where the crowd just was like, okay. And, until they come up with that, then that's going to be what it is. People didn't care. I mean, they really didn't.
Yeah. I ended up watching this match clinically because I'm rooting for Kalani. I agree with what Rob said. She's got to develop some personality somewhere down the road. I think she's still a baby. You've got plenty of time for this. I'm looking at her in-ring work clinically. And on this show, I've been a little critical of the flippy stuff and some of the contrived spots. I felt like Saturday night, she's starting to smooth some of that out. Like some of it is starting to make sense in the context of a fight more than just paint by numbers. Okay, I got to get up because I got to be here for the arm drag. And then I got to be up because I got to be here for the flip. And I got to get up because I got to be over here for the whatever's next. She's getting the fluidity. And I picked that up on Saturday night. There was some really slick stuff in all three of those encounters with Jasmine Nix, with JC Jane, and eventually with Fallon Henley. There was one move where, and I'm trying to remember, it started off as a suplex that I think Fallon called the spot. It started off as a suplex. Kalani reversed it into something else, and then it got reversed into something else, and it was so smooth and so quick, and it looked really good. So there was some good stuff to be held. Like I said, I watched this clinically. I wasn't even sports entertained with this match. I was paying attention to primarily Kehlani's movements in the ring, but also Jasmine because I know she's still learning. I knew Fallon and JC were going to carry the workload on their sides. But the two more less experienced girls, I was watching more from let's see if they're developing. And in my eyes, they're finally starting to develop. So I liked seeing that. I enjoyed the match.
There you go. Well, I mean, I can't say enough good things about Kalani. She's awesome. And Yeah, the next step is finding a character, because she's got personality, and she's got that in spades, but, you know, just find your, you know,
right.
Give her
a lot more. Hey, I'm happy to be here is every other girl on the roster.
Right. It's, you know, just like the, it's like the Adam Cole good wrestler guy. It's like, okay, well, give me a little more.
What else?
And let me just add, it's even more glaring now that you have people like Julia and Stephanie McCour and, I forgot the
she's Zarya now, but it was
Dumb. Zarya, yeah. Now that you have those three women there who have these big presences and, you know, and all of that, like that type of stuff was even more glaring now.
Yeah.
Not all even have the, like, supernatural part to their character. But all three of those women nailed the My Little Mortal Kombat, you know.
Well, and they hired three women back to back to back that all passed the airport test.
Yes.
Like, all three of them. Like, in one group hire, they got all these girls.
You turn your head immediately when they walk by you in the airport.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and so I mean, again, the downside of that is that, you know, it makes some of these other girls look less than really fast.
Yes.
Yeah. Through no fault of their own.
This means you got to step your game up. You got to find something, man. Dig a little deeper. Make yourself stand out.
Yeah. You know, cause,
I'm serious, dude. Give Kalani something just to sink her teeth into and she'll be fine. I'm dead serious, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you, like, as stupid as that, make her a cheerleader. Fine. If you want to go happy-go-lucky, like, happy to be here, kid, give her an actual angle that says that. Like Bailey. Bailey being the hugger, that really is just a, you're happy to be here, kid. And Bailey did just fine with it. So, just give her something, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
So.
All right, what's next?
We had the final match of the night, we had the Devil's Playground match for the NXT Championship, and Trick Williams retained his title as he defeated Ethan Page. I was mildly surprised, because I thought they were gonna, you know, toss it back and forth maybe one more time. But this was a lot of fun. Ethan Page, man, is he long for NXT? DJ, what do you think?
I don't think so. I'm gonna throw it out there. I think he's in the Rumble this year. Obviously he's not winning, but you know, I think Ethan Page ends up in the Rumble this year.
And then on the main roster going forward.
On the main roster, probably he ends up on SmackDown.
Gets his first feud with the Miz on the Rumble.
I think him and the Miz would have absolutely fire promos. I can't even describe how I've turned the corner on Ethan Page, because when he first showed up, I knew a little bit about him from AEW and just from what I'd seen on the indies, but I didn't care. Now, I care.
Yeah, he's great. I think Ethan Page is tremendous. Rob, well, how was it in the building for that whoop that trick chant?
Oh, so, I mean, that building was on fire for that guy, for Trick. And look, he is the star in NXT. Don't let anybody, you know, he is the star in NXT. Don't let anybody take it differently. Cause that, yeah, I mean, that building just whole building came alive for him when he came out there. It was just a whole different thing. And look, I'm a convert on Ethan Page also. I didn't see anything from him anywhere else that, you know, had me thinking that I thought he was a perfectly fine professional wrestler. Before he came in here, and he plays a really good heel. He got heat from the crowd. People were booing him pretty strong. And now I will say this about, like, when Falls Count Anywhere matches, when they're not in your part of the building, they fucking suck.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'm sitting there thinking about you when I'm watching this.
Oh man. Cause they were on the other side of the arena when they went out of the ring. And, like, if they come over by where you're sitting, it's the greatest thing in the world. If they go to the other side of the building, it fucking sucks. Because you can't see shit. And at one point, our section was chanting, over here, over here. Because we wanted them to come over here. And I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah, if they're, especially if they go out into the crowd on the other side of the building and they're not, and it's like the lower level, but, and you know, and then the barricade and everything, it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You see shit. And so the parts that we were able to see were good. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, the stuff that, yeah, I mean, the things that I was able to see were good. It was a good match. And again, you know, look, Trick is the guy and period. You know, and like, and he's going to, I mean, obviously he's going to stick, he's still going to stick around there for a while. I mean, you know, probably some, until sometime next year, but he is definitely the guy there, period, in the story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This trilogy of matches with him and Ethan Page has been incredible. Like, just the feud itself, it made me care about Ethan Page. I think it elevated Trick. I think to get, because, you know, a lot of people argue, oh, the WWE style, the WWE this, and you can make an argument. He's looked good because he's been with in-house talent. This is a guy who has only been in NXT for less than 6 months. Ethan Page is an indie guy. You know, he's an outside guy. He cut his teeth elsewhere, came in here, and Trick's hanging with him. And, you know, I like that. And I've enjoyed this whole thing. Ethan's been incredible. Trick has been incredible. That was a lot of fun. And kudos, man, Trick doing the Willy Wonka thing and doing the trip and the tumble. I lost my mind. I was like, this mother effer. It's just on all the time. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah, this was a fun show, all in all. Rob, any more thoughts from in the building?
Before we
move on.
So, for anybody complaining about Bubba Ray Dudley being involved with the show, he was over in the building. So,
yeah.
These veteran old timers, whatever you want to call them. Look, y'all IWC folks need to just stop complaining, because when they show up, whether it's somebody like Bubba Ray Dudley or our buddy Goldberg, the people in the building always tell a much different story than what you're typing in your little Twitter account, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are paying the bills. You're not paying the bills sitting in your mom's basement. Sorry.
Yeah. So,
guys get a colossal pop, we can have a discussion. But until then.
Yeah.
My tweet got 300 likes. What are you talking about?
Yeah. You know, but I say it was overall a good show. I
paid customers.
Yeah. And now
I paid for a check mark.
Oh. All right, yeah. Calm the fuck down.
Yeah. Now I will say the two matches where the crowd was quiet, it did kind of, you know, people were quiet to the point where it did affect the way that the match felt watching it. And look, obviously, like, you're not supposed to just do what everybody else does, right? But especially during the gauntlet match, the level of just, like I said, people just didn't care. And it was to the point where it made it hard to watch or to get into. But other than that, I mean, you know, everybody was hot for the opener. People were hot for the main event. And I say overall, the indie building experience, I would say overall, it was a good show.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. So we are going to do something a little different here. We are going to go and we are going to talk, it just fell right out of my head, Crown Jewel. But cool. Guys, we're running long on time here. So I just want to do a quick fire predictions. Jason has the card. He's going to go through that. We can talk about the show more extensively next week. But let's just do some quick fire, rapid fire predictions here.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to go in the order I have it on Wikipedia. So first up, we're going to have the WWE Crown Jewel Championship contested between the World Heavyweight Champion Gunther and the undisputed WWE Champion Cody Rhodes. I think that Gunther is going to win. Rob.
Yeah, I think Gunther needs to win more than Cody does here. I think Gunther wins.
DJ?
I'll make it unanimous.
All right. Excellent. Next up, we have the Women's Crown Jewel Championship. Shout out to people who said they were never going to have a women's match. We've done that gimmick. I've done that gimmick every time, but you all know what I'm talking about. So we have a women's crown jewel championship match. Of course, we're doing the women's version of the men's match. We have the women's world champion Liv Morgan fighting the WWE women's champion Nia Jax. I think Nia Jax is going to lose here. I think because, you know, Dirty Dom is there, so we have it some built-in, you know, mechanism. So Liv walks away with the women's crown jewel championship. Rob,
Nia's gonna squash her like a bug.
All right, and Dom.
Choice.
Is she gonna squash Dom too?
Maybe. And look, maybe we get a little brief. Maybe we get a brief, we get some type of briefcase situation here also.
Yeah, we could. That would be so funny for my, you know, for my promo. We have women's cash in. DJ.
I'm pulling for Nia Jax here.
All right. Sounds good. So next up we have Seth freaking Rollins against Bronson Reed in a good old fashioned singles match. I look for Bronson Reed to win this one. Rob.
I'm gonna go the other way. I think Seth's gonna win here.
Probably, but I think
this is not gonna work with the brother in time.
Bronson's the one who put him on the shelf. You know, it fits the story. TJ.
I ride and die with Seth Rollins, man. You guys know that.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Next up, we have Randy Orton and Kevin Owens again in a good old-fashioned singles match. I think Kevin Owens is going to hook and or crook his way out of this one. DJ.
Same. Kevin Owens.
Rob.
Same thing, yeah.
Excellent. So next up, we have a triple threat match for the United States Championship, L.A. Knight. Yeah, defending against Andrade and Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes is going to win. Period. End of story. DJ.
Carmelo. Yeah, I'm going to pull for Carmelo. I want LA Knight to win because I'm digging this run, but Carmelo.
Rob?
I think LA Knight wins here. He hasn't even defended it yet, like on a PLE, so I think this is it here. I think he wins this one here.
Wow. Dang. All right. Next up, we have a Fatal 4-Way match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. Shout out the no women's matches in Saudi Arabia crowd. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair defending their championship against Damage Control, Metaphor, and Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. I think that Jade and Bianca are going to retain. Rob?
I think so too, yeah.
Excellent. DJ?
I'm going to complete the trifecta here, although I would love to see Metaphor. I know it's not going to happen. I'm totally putting my fan hat on there. But, yeah, I'm going to complete the trifecta here.
All right, so last up, we have a six-man tag team match. We have the original Bloodline, Roman Reigns and the Usos taking on Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa, and or Jacob Fatu. Have they said who it's going to be yet?
No, they have not.
Okay. So, spoiler alert, the Bloodline's getting back together. They're going to have this match, and I think they're going to win. And I think this time we do get Dwayne got on a jet. And I think we are going to get another Dwayne Johnson appearance at the end of this. Rob.
I think Solo and the Tongans win this one.
Wow. All right.
I think it's their turn to win, I think. So.
Where's my Tony Reale mute button? Get this guy out.
You're muting the both of us because I agree with Rob, and I think it's going to be both the Tongans and Solo Sikoa. I think they keep Jacob out of it for a minute. Right, they need to heat him up a little more.
Both of you right to jail. So who eats the pen?
Jimmy.
Yeah.
I hate being that way, but.
I mean, right. If it's going to be one of those three right now.
It's going to be Jimmy.
I think it's going to be Jay, and it's going to be because one of the other ones fucked up.
Okay.
And it's going to be like, all right, man, I just got back on board and like, really? Stoke a little more drama if Dwayne doesn't show up. I mean, like, if Dwayne's showing up, I think the Bloodline wins and we get, you know, we're starting to get the stare down and we need more people and Sammy and blah, blah, blah. And so, by the way, what do we think about that? Did we all see, you know, Sammy talking to, or Solo talking to Sammy the other night?
Well, I think.
What do you think that's about?
It's got to be a red herring. That yeah. can't be. There's no way he's going to go with them.
I think either the wise man or Roman, possibly Jay, because of their, you know, relationship, sent Sammy undercover.
Possibly. We'll find out. War Games is coming up.
I think they'll go for a few weeks where it looks like Sammy's fucking them over. And then
they pull the swerve.
There's going to be a turn. And I think that will fit because yes, the Bloodline do look serious, like the Bloodline as it stands right now, Solo and you know, the Tongans and Jacob. They look fearsome, and they look legit. However, them constantly losing the big one is going to make Mastermind Dwayne show his face, as he already has. So I think, it's going to make him enter the game, as they say. So yeah. I'm just fantasy booking at this point. So,
all right.
That's me. So next up, that was it.
That was the main event, man. There is no next up after the Tribal Chief.
Yeah.
No.
There is no next up after that, buddy. All right. Well, gentlemen, we have had an awesome show. It's been a lot of fun. It's great to be back with you guys. And again, thank you for holding down the fort last week. You guys did an awesome job.
Thank you, man. We appreciate that.
We do our best.
No, you guys did awesome. I'm going to go back around the room, thank my cast of characters one last time. Jason, sir, good show tonight. Good talk.
I had a blast.
And from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is yawning. We talked about this before we ever even went on the air. Rob and I are cooked. We went on with EJ of the Earnestly Speaking podcast last night. EJ usually runs a little late on Wednesday nights. That episode is out now. I did share it to my app formerly known as Twitter feed. That is EJ Christian, the Earnestly Speaking podcast. Rob and I were on there for a little bit talking Sports Illustrated's top 20 all-time WWE superstars. Again, I'm the man with the award-winning and holy beard. DJ, you have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Marino says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Marino is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Marino was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Prescriptions, copays, lab tests. Even with insurance, healthcare can cost thousands every year. But not for me, because I'm enrolled in VA healthcare. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.